No, we, you know, I mean, we just, we, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
Say that one more time, please. One more time. Boom! One more time. Boom!
Welcome to the Bear Essentials. On today's show, we recap the Bears' 34-21 victory over the Chiefs and much more. What's happening, Prayers?
Man, they dub. Shit, our Bears are 4-0. You know what I'm saying? Out here undefeated in these preseason streets. I'm good over here, man. What's good work with you, my guy?
I'm just trying to be big time like you, man. You the man out there.
All right, don't listen to this, man. Don't listen to this, man. Now, I will tell you now, you know, I was at the game, and I as a fan audience, because we weren't covered for the road game, but, you know, I said, I'm still going to get my ass out there to Kansas City. Right. AW, you should have heard them fans. They was talking some mad shit. They were like, look at all these Bears fans that are here. They act like this matters. He's like, this is preseason. You know, they're so happy about a preseason win. I'm looking at them like, all right, so if they score a touchdown, you're not going to cheer later on in the game, right? And the guy was like, no, right? He's like, no, because this don't even matter. I'm like, then why are you here? Then he was quiet.
I bet he was quiet, friends. Why you here then? Why you going to a game then?
You know what I'm saying? What you with the game for? You play to win the game. I don't give a fuck if it's preseason, if it's practice. I don't care. See, what I would have done if I was one of them A-Dub, I'd have been like, you know what? Super Bowl champs over here. Then that would have shut all the Bears fans down. He'd be like, yeah, you know, we don't know nothing about that shit. It's been a long time. You know what I mean? Or if he really wanted to be petty, he could have got into the little Patrick Mahomes, little Mitch Trubisky thing. Nah. These guys, they don't know how to talk shit. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Kansas City, step your games up.
But here's the deal though, Perez. Why even worry about the Chicago Bears and the fan base anyway? You just won the chip. What does that matter to you all? You know, you all been winning. What does that matter? You know, I wouldn't even engage if I was him. Like, dude, because you know Ben is gonna always show up no matter where the Bears are at. But to go that route, homie, come on, man.
Well, that was his problem because Bears fans were deep. In Kansas City. I'm talking about going to the parking lot. I saw them Caleb Williams jersey. Now, I will say this now, A-Dub. I got a little something to say for our Bears fans out here that wear these jerseys of players that are no longer with the team. Now, y'all know how Brother Perez feels about that. Come on now. We can't be that cheap out here that we still wearing Cedric Benson and may he rest in peace. I don't want to see the Cedric Benson 32 Bears jersey. Like, what are we doing? If it ain't a Walter Payton, if you got a legendary jersey, what we doing?
Go to that store, get you a new jersey. Hey, look, we got some studs. We got some studs on this team that you probably want to support. But you're right, Perez. All that old stuff to guys who didn't really do much for this franchise. You got you a Caleb Williams jersey on. You're looking pretty good. And you're feeling pretty good. You got you a DJ Moore jersey on. You're feeling pretty good.
And I know some people will say, well, Perez, you know, these players, they change teams. They change jersey numbers. I understand. I'm not going to give you a hard time if you still rocking the Jalen Johnson 33. Fine. I'm not even going to say nothing about that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But my problem comes, A-Dub, when I see these obscure-ass jerseys, and I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing? But anyway, what I will say is that Bears Nation showed up and showed out. We took over Arrowhead Stadium or whatever the fuck they call that stadium now. Anyhow, it was a lot of navy, orange, blue, white, all that shit. It was all over that fucking stadium. And when the Bears were fucking scoring and moving down the field, bro, you heard a roar. And that's what they was mad about. So to answer your question, they was mad because we basically came to their stadium and freaking bought up all the tickets.
It was like a home game for the Chicago Bears.
I don't know how it sounded on TV, but that's how it sounded in that stadium.
Bear Nation showed out. They represented, man. Those cheers were pretty loud, but for every time the Bears scored.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, we're going to get into that recap in a little bit, A-Dub. Let's get into some Hard Knocks real quick because I'm not going to lie to you, man. I have a lot of people that have been hitting us up, and they're like, bro, we are loving your Hard Knocks recaps. So I said, you know what? Shit, A-Dub and I love Hard Knocks. So guess what? We all in business around here. So A-Dub, Hard Knocks Episode 3. Listen, I was already loving the other two episodes, but this one by far was my favorite episode so far in the series.
Just seeing some of these deep conversations, you know, that were being held on Hard Knocks, man, with we even go Eberflus and Caleb Williams. I mean, dude, it was just so much good stuff all through this episode that you can pinpoint. So I will tell you like this, Perez, I enjoyed that show as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. So to that point, let's just talk about that part. Seeing Eberflus and Caleb breaking down that game against the Bills, right? Basically going through the coverages. Hey, talking to Caleb about what did you see out there? What went into this decision? When Caleb was kind of talking through his reads on that run play, right? And that was something that you and I talked about on the last episode. But just kind of like hearing a defensive-minded coach talking to his franchise quarterback and this them having that type of dialogue back and forth and Eberflus just rattling off the coverages and shit and Caleb right there with him. I love that, man. That type of stuff right there is the stuff that we don't get as media, Bears fans, content creators. You don't get that without a Hard Knocks.
And Hard Knocks even went a little bit deeper as well, Press. On top of that, they start breaking down his footwork and everything else. Hey, how did you look on that play? You know, how about your footwork? You know, what do you see? You know, and it was funny when Caleb Williams pretty much told Eberflus, hey, man, the practices are harder than the games. But it just shows you that he's learning so much, man, you know, by being in practice and playing the way he's been playing and having this type of level of engagement with Coach Eberflus.
Well, that part doesn't surprise either one of us. We talked about that on our last show.
Yep.
This Bears defense has impressed me throughout the camp. We've seen this Bears defense look goddamn good in these games, A-Dub. Mm-hmm. And it's not a surprise. It's not a fucking surprise. And so when Caleb says that kind of stuff, we always talk about iron sharp as iron.
Yep.
It's been awesome. And they're getting him ready for the season. But I'm telling you, man, this Bears defense, bro, my goodness, man, they got the opportunity, man, to really have a standout season. And I'm not just saying that just to be saying it. This defense is something else. And this is before they attempted to get Judon on this team, A-Dub. We didn't even talk about that last week. And they went through that thought process on Hard Knocks. And you saw Ryan Poles, he needed a little counsel from his team because he was a little salty that they didn't get Judon.
And yeah, man, and the thing is, when he went into the level of details of what he wanted to do with Judon, he was like, hey, look, we're trying to get this guy, and we want to try to extend him as well. When he talked about Judon and what he can do and bring to the table, you know, and his age and everything else, it just shows you the level of detail that these guys look into when they want to bring a player to this franchise.
Well, you got to think about this, A-Dub. When they made the trade last season to get Montez Sweat in here, Ryan Poles was having a little deja vu in the sense that when they made that trade for Montez Sweat, there was no contract parameters in place. Remember, we were talking about it in the show. It was like it was probably like a couple days to a week where we didn't know if Montez Sweat was going to sign a deal.
True.
You never want to give up top draft capital and not have a deal in place. So the thing with Judon, which I respect, they were going to give up a third-round draft pick potentially, but not have the parameters of a contract in place. Right. That was the problem. And I love hearing his thought process about that. But I also love my boy King's process of letting him know, well, you know, we did give up a fourth-round pick for 4 years of Austin Booker. And I was like, ooh, that was a bar.
I did like that dialogue right there. No, it did get Ryan Poles something to think about, bro.
And my favorite part of this episode, and you know me, I don't really care for these Barstool guys because I kind of think they're a little extra.
Yeah.
But I love that interview that they had with Caleb. And when they asked him that question about, hey, would you push the button to sacrifice one Bears fan to win two Super Bowls? And you notice Caleb never answered the question.
No, he didn't, man. He just kept thinking about those 10 Super Bowls. It was like, man, but he kept going back to it. 10 Super Bowls? 10 Super Bowls? But you're right, he didn't answer the question at all, man.
You remember the talk during the draft time? He wanted to go one over Brady. And you and I talked about that. We were like, damn, if he over here talking like that, that's that GOAT talk.
Right.
And that's why I love that question, because I'm like, for a guy like Caleb, shit, that's a no-brainer, because you know that he wants greatness. He's chasing greatness. But I thought that was a really dope question, because you saw the one guy up there, he was already pressing the button. I said, I love that.
Right, he was like, hey, press that button.
And we know that every episode of Hard Knocks, Caleb Williams is going to be heavily featured.
Yeah.
I love seeing after he scored that touchdown against the Bengals, how he kept that ball close to his side and how you saw how he put it away in his back.
Hey, bro, he was actually, when he saw him on the sideline, you know, after he scored and he had the ball with him, Perez, he was just actually just, you know what I'm saying, in deep thought, you know, about the fact that, hey, I got my first one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rushing touchdown. I like that about him, that, hey, this milestone, he's going to take it in stride.
Yeah. I also love Torrey Taylor, man. Like, so this obviously was one of those moments that when the Bears went out to spend a fourth-round draft pick on a punter, you have some people that are kind of like, oh, what the hell? What was that about? We got Trent Gill. Well, Bears fans learn real quick there's levels to this thing.
Yes. And
you saw the Taylor, but that boy got a boom. And no surprise to you and I, as we talked about during the draft time,
right,
we cover the Big Ten. We saw how much of a secret weapon he was for Iowa. And the fact that people don't realize that he's an extension of the offense. And you're seeing how he's backing teams inside the 5-yard line, the 10-yard line, A-Dub. That's going to be a major benefit for this defense, man, this season.
It's good to see the other players on the team recognize that. Even Caleb Williams recognized that. Like, man, that's a good kick. You know what I mean? So how you putting those kicks, bro, inside the five? I mean, the dude got a leg on him, bro. And it's respect to him. So I'm glad the fact that Hard Knocks, first of all, put highlight around that. And then two, just seeing the team, you know, how they rally around that. Glad to have Torrey Taylor on the team, bro.
I love seeing him drive into the stadium. I was like sitting over here like, man, his drive had no traffic. I'm like, did he have some sort of a police escort? Hey, never that little bit of traffic driving around from downtown to Soldier Field. I'm like, what time in the morning was that, Torrey?
And you and I both know downtown traffic is crazy.
Unless he got to the arena at 6 in the morning. I'm just telling you, that traffic, that route was super, super smooth for him. I was like, man, I was so jealous of him. But it was really cool, though, just listening to him tell his story about coming here from Australia.
Yeah,
to the United States and fulfilling his dream. And he seems like a really solid dude. So I like that he got a little bit of shine on Hard Knocks as well.
He deserved it, bro. So I like to hear more about his story, and it's good hearing what they shared about him. So they put some good spotlight on
Tyson Bagent.
Woo!
Now, this dude right here, man, I'm telling you, he's getting a cult following, not just in Chicago and with Bears Nation, but around the world, man, there's been so many people now they're becoming familiar with Tyson. When I was at the game, these people were like telling me, they're like, oh, I like this Tyson kid. I'm like, well, we do too.
Tyson Bagent, bro, is getting better. It was good to hear him talk about it too, his growth and seeing where he was from last year to where he's at. I think Matt Ryan even talked about it, you know? And I'm like, yep, man, it's good to hear people talking about him, bro. And just to hear how his father is and how he is, you know what I mean? He's like, I'm the one in my family with tattoos. His dad is a wrestler. He's a character at 12.
Well, I mean, you remember, you and I, we were at that Senior Bowl that Tyson Bagent played in, and his dad was on the sidelines arm wrestling folks. And I remember walking past his dad, and you're right. His dad has always had, he's always been a character. And it was so cool to see the fact you saw Tyson Bagent told Austin Reed, like, hey, look, I got 80 people here at this game. And you saw Austin Reed was like, wait, damn, you have to pay for all those? He's like, yeah, that's 8 racks.
Hey, look, Tyson Bagent spent that money, man, to get those folks there for sure, bro. But it just shows that how you feel about family and friends and the support he's getting as well.
But it's all about your upbringing, man. Family is everything. You and I always talk about that. But you see that. You saw the pride in Tyson's dad with Tyson's score because he missed the spike. And what did he say? He said, rewind that. Like, he's at home.
Hey, his father had a good comeback for everything, didn't he? But I like that one for sure, Perez. He was like, hey, that was dope when he said that. So I got to give it to his father, man. I like to see father support there. The kid like that, man. I love to see that, Perez, you know. And seeing that type of support or getting that type of support, man, you can't beat that at all, man. That's priceless.
Highlight of this episode, Austin Reed, as I was just talking about a second ago. Boy, he tore up that Keisha Cole song. I'm talking about, and that's an anthem in our community, A-Dub. You know what I'm saying? My thing here, Austin Reed, you got the invite to the cookout anytime you want to come through, bro.
He sung it pretty well. He knew the lyrics. And he had the team pumped up because they sung along right along with
that's
the Prince.
Right. That's
I was excited for him. I'm like, man, first of all, I didn't even know he knew the song. That was the thing for me. I'm like, I'm caught off surprise. But the way he did it, hey, bro, salute to you, man. He did a good job with it.
Not only did he know the words and sing the song, but he was hitting those notes, A-Dub.
Yes!
That's not an easy song, ladies and gentlemen. Listen. I want y'all just Google Keisha Cole and just see how hard it is to hit the note on that song. She tore that thing up. And I said, Austin was hanging in there. And to your point, A-Dub, his teammates, they was riding with him.
Yeah.
And I got to say something for QB1. All these other rookies, man, they showed you up, bro. They showed you up.
Yeah, they did. Hey, Kev, we got to show us something else, man. These guys came to show you, bro.
I'm sure Caleb like, fuck that. I got you on the field, A-Dub. I got you on the field.
I'll take that.
Yeah, so I think that's what you're going to have to do. You ain't going to get no John Legend up out of him. But, hey, salute to Rome. Salute to Austin. Because Austin, I'm telling you. And this is the thing, man. This Hard Knocks has been legendary. And I'm not just saying that just because we're Bears fans and Bears media, Bears podcasters, whatever you want to say. I'm saying that we have left some memorable moments in Hard Knocks.
Yeah, I'm like, we saw DJ Moore, we saw Caleb, you're right, we seen Rome. We just starting to see our players, man, for who they really are, and I like what I'm seeing. Good people.
And your boy Velus Jones, the Ferret King.
Man, that came out of left field, in my opinion. I'm like, wait a minute, what? And he told that story? And I'm like, dude, that was a good story he told, but I was like, wow. To hear him talk about the Ferret and how they got to that point, man, I was like, man, good for you, Velus, man, good for you, bro.
Well, I just love the fact that he was talking about they was in South Central, and he was like, they were like 2 seconds away from like, let's get up out of here. This shit don't look right.
He started cracking me up when he said that, man. He was like, keep the car running, right?
Man, that's some real shit. A-Dub, like, before we get into like the recap of the game itself, the one last piece that I had on Hard Knocks is this is like showing you like the chemistry of this team. And I don't want to, like, just overplay this part too much, but I just feel like, man, this team, they got so many likable guys. They got so many guys that you just want to root for. Yeah. And I think it makes it easier to cover a team and also to be a fan of a team like that when you got so many guys. You're just like, man, I just genuinely like this guy, and I like how they come across.
And that's the message I got too, Perez. And you talk about Rome and Caleb and other guys. They've earned it, man. They out there showing you exactly what type of guys they are. And they are people who just, you know, want to have fun, man, and love football, and they got good chemistry.
I mean, even like you talk about a guy like Rome. I remember during the draft process at the Combine, I asked him about the fact of his grandfather who sacrificed a lot for Rome. He used to spend summers on his grandfather's farm. His grandfather had an accident on the farm and went blind, and he's never seen Rome play, you know, on a college level and obviously as a pro level. And the fact that, you know, he's there every time Rome has a game, he's listening, and he's like, you know, he's like, I tell he's doing something good. I keep hearing his name on the TV, you know, and that type of shit, you could just tell, like, man, a guy like that, he comes from humble beginnings, and that's why he's such a hard worker, you know what I'm saying, and he gets after it.
Then they also humanize them as well. Bro, it makes it worth liking these guys. I mean, not only just the players, friends, but also the coaching staff, man. I mean, think about David Overstreet, bro, the Nickelback coach. Even seeing him, man, like, you see his personality, you know? And it's like, you start to see all this, how this team come together, bro. It just makes you, again, enjoy rooting for them.
Let's break down this game. I know the audience, like, man, what y'all was thinking about this game? The audience, obviously, we knew going into this matchup that the starters probably weren't going to play. We talked about that in our last episode. And then Eberflus made the announcement. Majority of the starters weren't going to play. I know there's a lot of talk about that, but when you see the number of guys that were down with injuries, whether it was Larry Borum, whether it was Douglas Coleman, you know, there was just too many for my liking, even with Simba Webster, there's a lot of injuries. And this is why you have a lot of teams where they kind of shy away in that preseason finale from playing their starters. But A-Dub, I want to get your thoughts on that, because there's a lot of people that were hitting us up and they were like, but guys, even though we saw glimpses of Caleb in the offense doing these different things, do you think that we should have seen Caleb a little bit in that game? So I want to get your thoughts on that based on what you saw with the injuries and also with the fact of getting these guys a little bit more preparation.
I mean, we saw in the previous game, Perez, those starters got a lot of reps. And I thought Eberflus and the coaching staff did a good job at that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's the last piece of the game. You don't want to risk anybody getting hurt. So you want to leave out this game as healthy as you possibly can. So I do respect the fact that the coaching staff done a good job at not playing those guys. I think I've seen enough out of Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Rome, and the rest of those guys to say, hey, you know what? We can go ahead and get those guys a break.
So, A-Dub, I'm on the opposite side of that argument. I do agree with you in the fact that when it comes to injuries, you don't want to set these guys up for a premature injury. I get that. But another part of me is like, injuries are a part of the game.
True.
What's the difference between an injury happening now or week two of the season? So my biggest thing is, I want my guys to be ready. I don't want any excuses week one if the offense isn't ready to go. I don't want to hear any of that shit, because I'm like, hey, you had another opportunity there to really, you know, get the team some more reps. Now, we talked about in the last show, the Bengals, bro, they had nothing for us. Man, of course, especially on offense. I'm like, what y'all trying to do?
The defense carved the Bengals up. The offense with Caleb Williams carved them up. I mean, we saw Keenan Allen out there making good catches. We saw on defense, Jalen Johnson stopping everything. I'm like, man, bro, you're right. From what I saw, man, the Bears handled business against them.
So my point is that the Bears had all that, you know, experience. Yep. So maybe from their mindset, they're like, look, no, we're good. We're ready. So, you know what? I'm going to leave it to Matt Eberflus and his staff. If they feel like they got a proper evaluation, they think these guys are ready, all right, all good. I just don't want to hear no excuses week one. That's all I'm trying to tell you, A-Dub.
Oh, it shouldn't be no excuses week one, Prez. That's always the thing, though. How much time or how many reps should your starters get, you know, throughout the preseason, right? That's always the case. Right? I do want to see them play because we had issues with them not playing in the past, right? But looking at it now, the joint practices and then seeing Caleb go out there and get even more reps than we thought he would get, you know, from that game against the Bengals. It's like, hey, look, is that enough to work things through? Who knows, right? But to your point, no excuses week one.
No, I don't want to hear it. But one thing I will say, obviously I talked about it earlier with the team being 4-0 in the preseason. Hey, there's no preseason champions, right? So we're not really going to say all that. But what we will be happy about over here is the fact that not only our starters, but the depth of this team that I continue to talk about. Bruh, A-Dub, I was proud of seeing just like these reserves and these guys that are fighting for roster spots, how they all stepped up. Now, we're going to get into some game balls a little bit later on in the show. But that was my general takeaway, is the fact, A-Dub, that when you look at this team and this roster from a high-level point of view, man, I feel like we are in good shape.
The thing that you and I talked a lot about, Perez, last season was this team didn't have depth. Once the starters are hit, whether it's on offense or defense, we felt like we were cooked. But now you look around and say, hey, nah, we good now. We got some studs, you know, right? Some reserves that can come in and handle business. So I feel pretty good about seeing the Bears and get a chance to see some of these reserves play, bro, throughout the preseason. It's like, man, we see some guys out there playing really hard, putting in work to earn a roster spot.
And this is the thing, man. It hasn't mattered what level, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, our reserves have been beating the fuck out of people all preseason. And it's been dope to see, A-Dub. I swear it has been.
Yeah, man. And that's the thing I can rave about looking at this Bears. And I think that's probably going to be one of the highlights, hopefully, of the season, is the depth of the Chicago Bears. Because that's something we haven't been able to say in quite a while, Perez.
And we talked about Tyson Bagent earlier in the episode. We got a fucking quarterback, too, that we can trust. If something, and listen, I'm not saying this, so let me just, audience, I'm knocking on wood as I say this. If something were to happen at quarterback, you got a guy at QB2 that we can trust. And that's such a beautiful thing.
I'm not even lying to you, man. Just watching how Tyson Bagent has been playing throughout this preseason, I've been impressed, you know? And I do see the growth.
Outside of that Hall of Fame game.
Yeah. Absolutely. Outside of that, bro. Outside of that, he has shown us a lot, man. And I'm like, this dude get the reps. He go out there, execute, bro. I mean, move the offense. They go down, they score. And I'm like, this is the Tyson Bagent I want to see. And now we're starting to see some consistency with that. So I'm happy for him. I love the growth. And I want him to continue growing as a football player. Because as you said before, bro, he got his own ideas of how he sees himself moving forward, right? It's like, hey, you know what? I'm not one of those guys that's going to be looked up as a backup or as a chump, as he called it, right? He's like, hey, I got something to prove, too.
And I like the fact, too, that he's like, look, this is cool and all, but he was like, but I see myself as a guy that can compete and play in this league. Yep. So my thing is, that's a guy right here that says, hey, at some point, I'm going to want to compete and play for a QB1 spot. But guess what? For right now, he's our QB2, but I love the fact that his mentality is where it is. But you know what I'm saying? You can't have a father like him and not have that type of confidence. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things that's going to be there.
Hey, man, salute to Tyson Bagent to having that type of goal. So I'm happy for him, man. He should have that mindset. He should want to be a starter in the NFL. Hey, why not?
I'm not going to sit over here and try to act like being 4-0 in the preseason don't mean anything. For me personally, I'm proud of that. You know what I mean? I think that this team is showing you that they have potential. I'm not sitting up here and telling you that this team is going to go undefeated in the regular season, but I think that this season is one that we should go into it feeling hopeful. I think Bears fans, we deserve that. I know we sometimes set ourselves up for failure. Sometimes we set ourselves up to be upset. But, bruh, A-Dub, this season, it just feels a little different, man. I don't know. I kind of talked myself into a lot of things over the years. But I just feel different about this season, bro. I don't know why. I can't put my hand on it, but I just feel like I feel hopeful, bro.
Part of the reason why I'm hopeful, Perez, is I'm starting to see things that Eberflus preach a lot about. Like, it's his principle, right? And you go out there and see players execute on that. For example, the tackling, right? We see very good tackling going on out there. These are things that can carry over to the season, right? You see people out there making big plays. These are things, again, that can carry over to the season. Everyone having confidence in their abilities, bro, and playing well and getting better. So that stuff can carry over, you know? It's how you start as well. It's also how you finish too. So both of them come together, man. You got something special going on.
And I think what it does, A-Dub, to the point you made with Eberflus, it starts with the culture. It starts with the attitude. It starts with the habits. They had 90% of the people showed up during the offseason for voluntary workouts. That sets a tone.
Yeah.
When you have the majority of your people in the building, that says something. That means something. That means people are coming in to do work and to put in the work. That's huge. Guys are showing up every day to get better. Yeah, we had some fights in training camp, and, you know, sometimes you have some bullshit like that happening. But for the most part, this team has been ready to go. And I think that's the part for me that I've been really impressed about. And even in this final game, A-Dub, they didn't mail it in. Listen, you got guys that were on the damn bubble that know, like, hey, there's shit I need to do to get myself up into the mix here. You got a guy like Velus Jones, who, when I talked to the audience about the fact that he was taking reps at running back, people in our mailbox, they were laughing at me. They're like, Perez, you can't be serious with Velus Jones at running back. Like, are you serious? And I'm like, look, the Bears are trying to figure this thing out with him. And I think, A-Dub, this guy could be a poor man's Cordarrelle Patterson. Like, I'm not even, like, joking when I say that. When you look at the ability at the running back position, the ability on special teams, even though I know sometimes he must punts and I call him one step forward, two steps back. But I tell you one thing, bro. Velus Jones with the ball in his hands in the open field is a fucking problem.
Man, he has been impressive. I'm not going to lie to you, bro. Watching him this last preseason game, I was impressed. I'm like, well, maybe they found the gym right there, bro. I run it back with him, a position that he can really maybe thrive in. And just seeing the way he run the football, Perez, on those pitches, you know, I'm like, man, did he get in the open field like you just said and make some magic happen and then get in the end zone? Look, Velus right now is riding pretty high, bro, and I like what I'm seeing out of him.
And he's a guy that's pretty much putting himself in position to make this roster, because I'll tell you, if it hadn't been for this move to running back, I don't think he would have made this damn roster.
Hey, I was done with him, you know, because I knew it wasn't much room for him as a wide receiver. We know that already. It's like, look, we're straight there. But now seeing what he's able to do as a running back, I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. They may have found something in him. So, and he might just thrive in that role. So, hey, I think he earned himself an opportunity, bro, to continue playing with this team.
And guess what? Shane Waldron was here, what, a couple months, and he already figured out, like, hey, well, let's try to utilize him somewhere else. And that's my whole thing with Luke Getsy, A-Dub's boy.
Shane, you got me there. You got Shane, me there, man. You got Shane. You got. I can roll with that, but go ahead.
But, you know, Shane Waldron comes in here, and he's like, look, I think we got a weapon here. Let's try something new. Let's try something different with him.
Right.
And we got a small sample size, but listen, two games, this guy found the end zone in both games. I'm like, okay, all right now.
That's not a fluke. You know what I mean?
I don't think so either.
Exactly. When you make that kind of consistency, it's not just even about getting the end zone, Perez. He has some good runs out there. Even still, you know, so him carrying the football, you saw him, man, get some yards out there, bro, get some first downs. I'm like, you know what? He's pretty good as a running back, you know? And to your point, coach has found something, you know? So give Shane props, man. The OC found something here.
All right, A-Dub, let's get to some game balls. Offensively, what say you?
Offensively, I'm going to go with Scott. I thought...
Okay, salute to Tyler Scott. Yes, sir.
I thought Tyler Scott was pretty much the consistent wide out there, bro. He was the safety net. That's what I'm going to call him, the safety net. Whenever there's a problem, there's ever trouble, the quarterbacks were looking for him. And I'm like, hey, Tyler Scott, answer the bell, man. He was out there making good catches, and this is probably the best I've seen him look thus far, bro. And I'm like, hey, you know what? You're proving that, hey, if you want to be able to back up Rome or these other wide receivers we have on this team here, you got to go out there and play extremely well. And he wasn't dropping a lot of catches out there. I think he missed one. But other than that, man, he was on point.
Well, I mean, A-Dub, I mean, he led the team in receptions. He led the team in yards. He didn't get in the end zone, but guess what? He was the reason why the offense put points on the board, because He was the guy that was just eating up yards. He was catching the football. Yeah, he had a drop. But for the most part, I would agree with you. He looked the best that I've seen him look in the Bears uniform so far.
I'm glad now, Prez, that he got confidence. You know what I mean? So it's like, hey, if he didn't have it, he damn sure have it now. So I want to see him continue to make progress from here.
So, I mean, for me, offensively, I already talked about Velus a second ago. This is a tough one for me. Because I gave Velus his flowers, so I'm going to give my game ball to Tyson Bagent.
Okay.
When you have the luxury of having a solid quarterback two in the NFL, man, bro, we are in a very fortunate situation because the Bears, for the longest time, we didn't even have a credible quarterback. And now we got a potential franchise quarterback and then a guy that if something will happen to QB1 that can step in and get the job done. I'm not falling into the trap of the people that have been in our mentions saying, well, Tyson's better than Justin Fields. And I'm like, okay, you know what? You said it. That's your opinion. I'm not getting into that. I'll focus on the people that's on this team right now. And right now, when I look at a guy like Tyson Bagent, A-Dub, and the scoring drive that he let that offense on, it was efficient. It looked fucking beautiful. On the road. And I'm talking about you got backups in there that you're dealing with. You have not the normal core of receivers. And that shit looked fucking effortless.
Just seeing Tyson Bagent run for that touchdown, bro.
Yes, sir.
I was like, man, that was dope, bro. How he dived in the end zone, man. This is your quarterback doing this, you know? And I'm like, you know what? You kind of know you saw you read it very well, and you got in the end zone, man. So salute to Tyson Bagent. I love the work he put in, man. And I love how he was out there playing extremely well and moving the offense. So that's what you're supposed to do with the quarterback. You command the flow, as we talk about. You command the offense, and you execute it. So I like that fact that he had the team playing at a high level.
Defensively, A-Dub, I'll give him my game ball to Reddy Stewart. Listen, he was a guy that got highlighted in episode 2 of Hard Knocks. And even before he was asked, he was like, so Reddy, what's that about? He's like, oh, that's a nickname I got. You know what I'm saying? I was always Reddy. Well, all this damn training camp and preseason, all this guy does is get takeaways. 2 picks in this game and a pick 6, A-Dub.
Yeah.
46 flashed. And my whole thing is this. We already got a lot of talented corners on this team. And when you got a guy like this now that's fighting for a roster spot, he's making it hard for Eberflus and Washington and the rest of those guys to figure out what they're going to do with him. Because I feel like if they cut him, there's no way that he's going to make it back on that practice squad.
He's making big-time plays, Perez. I mean, even after the Bears turned it over off the punt, you know? And I'm like, this guy went out there and helped prevent, you know, a touchdown, right? And I'm like, that was a big-time interception, you know, that he got his first one, you know? The second, of course, it was the pick 6. So he put himself in a good situation, and the fam don't lie, bro. If you pull up his tape, bro, it looks pretty good.
Well, he bailed us out because after that fucking horrible-ass fucking turnover, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That was a tough one, man. I mean, Carter got pushed, whatever, you know what I mean, and touched the ball on that punt return, man.
Come on, man. Head on the swivel. Head on the swivel, bro.
Yeah, that was tough to see, man. But I got to tell you, bro, I got to give this story because he built this out. They were coming down to score a touchdown. They were pretty much in the red zone. And I'm thinking, like, you know what? Kansas City's going to score now. But, hey, Stewart proved me differently. He said, hey, I'm going to take this one. Give us an opportunity to go down and score. So I got to salute to that kid, man, for playing well and, again, making big plays.
Undrafted kid. But, listen, he was a ball hawk in college. So none of this is surprising to any of us that followed this kid. And again, they got some hard decisions to make, man. We'll get into it a little bit later on because Artis, you'll get some bonus content from A-Dub and I. We're going to go through some of our potential roster blocks. But I will tell you, A-Dub, I would not want the jobs of Eberflus and the rest of this coaching staff. My goodness.
Man, they got a tough decision. This is what happens, Fred. You talk about you want competition, right? You know what I mean? You got it. Now what you going to do now? Because now you got some hard decisions to make on who you're going to cut.
Mm-hmm.
I went with Daniel Hardy.
Okay, he does.
And this is why I went with him, Prez. He didn't get home on sacks, but you know what? The pressure he provided, bro. I was like, hey, I would take that right there. I don't even get home, bro. But being back there, that backfield, making things happen, that says a lot right there. That's what we want. If you can't get home, at least apply the pressure. So he was out there still making a difference, man, on that D-line. And I'm quite sure he still was turning some heads like, hey, we got another guy here. You know, we got Booker. We got Daniel Hardy. It's going to be tough out there, man. Those two guys want to play.
No, I mean, Daniel Hardy, man, I think he's put himself in position to make this team. Because, again, we know that sacks is a big part of it. I mean, they went out and they picked up Taylor, right? And that was
right.
a move that they made to bolster the pass rush. But when I look at a guy like Hardy, when I look at guys like Booker, you have a lot of young talent on this team and guys that have shown that, hey, you know what? We can get after the quarterback, even with if it's small sample sizes, A-Dub. And when right. you see that acquisition of a Taylor and when you see some of the things that Eberflus talked about, they definitely understand that right now this defense has an opportunity to be special. That's why Ryan Poles was looking at Judon, right? Yep. That didn't work out. So guess what? He turned the page real quick and went out there and got Taylor.
Yeah. And I like the move, Perez, because you know what? At the end of the day, we definitely going to need somebody on the opposite side of Montez Sweat, bro. So, hey, look, if Taylor can get the job done, hey, maybe he earned those reps. Let him go and handle business. But that's what it's all about, man. Improving, getting better, man. And we see something special with this defense. Let's make it better, you know. And that's what it's all about, man.
Now, I will say, he doesn't have the resume of a Judon, but the guy has production.
Yeah.
And Eberflus mentioned how he fits their scheme. And I think that's going to be a big part of what that attraction is going to be for the Bears.
But look at who his competition is. Austin Booker, Dominique Robinson, DeMarcus Walker, you know? Who's going to get those reps?
Well, this is my thing. You brought up Dominique Robinson's name. I don't know if Dominique Robinson going to make the team now. You know? I'm with you on Booker. I'm with you on DeMarcus Walker. I don't know if Robinson's in the mix, man. I think that Daniel Hardy's done enough to nudge him out of the way.
You make a good point, Perez. And you know me. I was really high on Dominique when we first got him, bro.
I know.
And then all of a sudden, he kind of disappeared, right? Last season we saw, like, hey, where you go, bro? Like, this is the time for you to shine. And he didn't answer the bell. So now other players are putting out good tape, making big plays, and you are not. So at that point, Perez, you're right, man. He could be the man out the door.
Now, I got to ask you questions. A lot of people have been asking me, they're like, Perez, what did you and A-Dub think about the trade that they make to bring Williams in here? And they gave up a 6-round draft pick, even though they're getting a 7-round draft pick in return. So I want to get your thoughts on that one. Because me personally, A-Dub, I thought potentially this guy was going to get cut. So I wondered why we went out and gave up draft capital. You know what I mean? But, you know, Ryan Poles obviously probably knows more than me. So, you know, just curious what you thought about.
But you know how Ryan Poles is. Sometimes he gets a little aggressive. And I would take the guy Chris Williams, man, because who knows what's going to happen, you know, with any of the players on the team. From a health standpoint, and we may need a guy, a defensive tackle like him, man, who can still come out and show something. Eberflus is familiar with this guy. You know what I'm saying? Perez, been with the guy with the coach, you know what I mean, when he's a defensive coordinator. So it says that coach knows a little bit about this guy. So, and they can come in and help us, you know. So I will say I'm cool with it, man. I don't have no issues with it. I think we're going to need the depth.
But you got to think about it. Zach Pickens went down with an injury.
Yeah.
Uncertain for week one. So I'm sure that's where the thinking was for Ryan Poles. Like, we need to shore up this interior of our line.
Absolutely, man. We got Javon Dexter, Andrew Billings, of course. But to your point, Perez, we need somebody else, man. And I'm glad they decided, you know what, let's not wait and need a guy. We can get one right now. So the urgency really played a big difference in this case.
No, it did. We saw with the Bears, they released our boy Keith Randolph Jr. Hopefully Keith Randolph can maybe sneak back onto the practice squad. I think he's got some potential here in the league. I think he needs to just kind of hone his game a little bit and develop some pass rush skills. But I think Keith will be fine. I just think that he needs a little bit more time to develop.
Yeah, and the thing is, you and I saw a lot of him, man, with the line nine. So, you know, I got a soft spot for him. So I do want to see the guy land on his feet, you know, and get a chance, another opportunity.
We saw some really tough injuries there. Cymbal Walker, who's put on IR. He was having a really solid game against the Chiefs. He's placed on IR. And then Douglas Coleman, that was a very scary one, A-Dub. Neck injury, he was placed on IR. I'm just glad that he was good because he was in the hospital and he was actually able to make it back on the flight with the team. But that was scary when he made that tackle and he didn't move and he didn't get up. And I was like, geez, when in that moment, I'm like, oh, man, this is tough. You know, and sitting there, it's so uneasy in that moment just seeing that because you just don't know what's going on, you know?
Yeah. And those things, bro. Like that, an injury like that could be career threatening. You know what I mean? It could have been, you know. Hopefully it's not, of course. But shit, man,
life threatening.
Yeah, exactly. Life threatening, bro. Right, exactly. So you hate to see somebody go down like that, man. Need a cart to get taken off the field. So it's always tough when you see a player go down like that. And I just saw the players getting on one knee, holding their hands, praying a little bit. You can see they were doing that, man. Mm-hmm. They want to make sure this guy get well and get healthy, man. And that's the most important thing, bro, to live, you know, a regular life, you know? And when you have an injury like that or get hurt too badly where you cannot, man, that's heartfelt.
Yeah, like I said, I talked about earlier how Larry Borum, he went off on the cart. So it was just a lot of those type of injuries that were happening. But I give the Chiefs fans their props because they were very classy. You know, they applauded that because my thing is it don't matter about opponent. Both teams have players that are human beings. When things like that happen in the heat of a battle like that, hey, man, like your opponent goes out the window in moments like that when somebody gets hurt. And so I'm just glad that he was good. And listen, he's going to IR, so he's out for the rest of this season. But hopefully, you know, he'll recover and hopefully he'll get a look there next season, A-Dub.
And that's what it's all about, man. Recover and then, you know, get back out there again, you know. But right now, focus on your health.
A-Dub, before we get out of here, I want to kind of break down with the audience some of my roster locks. Audience, as you guys know, we've been at Hallis Hall for quite a bit of the summer. And so just from observations and my notes and just kind of breaking things down and obviously from all of us being able to see these games, I kind of want to go through at least players that I think are a lock to make this team. And then, you know, we'll kind of fill out how things go as far as the bottom of the roster. But at quarterback, A-Dub, I want to get your thoughts on this. This is kind of what I've been thinking. Obviously, Caleb Williams, Tyson Bagent are locks. And I think that the organization, in my opinion, has to figure out whether they're going to carry a third quarterback. And I think if they do, in my opinion, I think it'll probably be Brett Rippon. But what are your thoughts there as far as that quarterback position?
I'm thinking they may carry three quarterbacks, Chris. And I like Brett Rippon. I thought the guy showed some good veteran leadership out there. I think he's another guy.
At running back, I think they're going to carry five guys. Ooh. I think you're going to have DeAndre Swift. I think you're going to have Khalil Herbert. I think you're going to have Roschon Johnson. I think you're going to have Kari Blessingame because you're going to need that fullback. Mm-hmm. And then I think the fifth guy is going to be Velus Jones Jr. I think he's going to edge out Travis Homer.
Yeah, I think Homer done, Perez. I really do.
And then Ian Willer, he tore his ACL in the game against the Chiefs. That guy right there, he would have pushed for a roster spot potentially. I hope the Bears bring him back next year after he recovers from that ACL, but that was tough to see. But salute to him because he really impressed.
He was impressive, man. And I just hate to see a guy like him get injured, you know, especially how hard not to pump them up too, bro. I love them, of course, but man, he's going to be a nice running back for anybody down the road.
Yes, sir. All right, a wide receiver, A-Dub, I feel, obviously, no-brainer. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunsey, Tyler Scott. I think those are going to be your four locks at the wide receiver position, and I think it's going to come down to Velus Jones, Dante Pettis, DeAndre Carter, and Colin Johnson for that fifth spot. And I think you're going to probably end up keeping Velus Jones for the versatility. Obviously, I mentioned the fact that he can play running back. He can be a wide receiver. He can be on special teams. I think that you're going to probably also end up keeping Dante Pettis. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, Dante Pettis, you know, vet, bro. You know I give him a little grief on punt return and things of that nature. But, I mean, I think I saw enough of him as a wide receiver, man, in his preseason games. And just seeing him be able to execute. So, you know, I think they're going to probably keep him on board.
Tight end, I think this one's pretty self-explanatory for anybody that's been following along. Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, Mercedes Lewis. I mean, I don't think that there's anything to really debate there. All right. Offensive line. Tevin Jenkins, audience. Darnell Wright. Braxton Jones. Don't give me shit, audience. Nate Davis. Ryan Bates. Coleman Shelton. And then the rookie, Big Kyren.
That's cool. I got no issues with that, Perez, you know. To your point, I'm still disappointed in Nate Davis, but I do understand the Bears are still going to keep him on board. So there's no issues there, though, even though I got my concerns with them in general. But I do like the rotational pieces that we do have as well.
And, I mean, we know that there's going to be some final roster spots there on the line where there's a Matt Pryor, Larry Borum, Jake Kernan, or Jatari Carter. I feel like depending on what happens with Larry Borum with his injury, he's somebody that probably end up making a roster because of the versatility there. He has his swing. And I've liked what Matt Pryor has brought to the table. So I wouldn't be surprised if Borum is healthy, it'll probably be Borum and Pryor, in my opinion.
And I hope Pryor stick around, bro, because you're right. He's showing us some signs, man, some good signs. And, again, another good rotational piece. So, you know, I'm pulling for him.
All right, edge rusher. I'm going Montez Sweat, DeMarcus Walker, Austin Booker, and Daryl Taylor. Obviously, you're not going to trade for a guy like that and he not make the team. And if we're going to have a fifth edge rusher that's going to join that group, it's going to be Daniel Hardy.
Man, Daniel Hardy, earn an opportunity, bro. We've been seeking his praise throughout these last few episodes. So I would love to see him get an opportunity, man, as well.
All right, defensive tackle here, A-Dub. Andrew Billings, Javon Dexter, Zach Pickens, and then a newly acquired Chris Williams.
That makes total sense.
Linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, my boy, Jack Sanborn.
I didn't see a lot of highlights from Sanborn, but you know what? We've seen enough of what he's been able to do last season. So, hey, we're rolling with Sanborn. We're keeping him.
And I think that you're going to have probably two roster spots up for grabs there. You're going to have two spots that are going to be up for grabs there at that linebacker position. I think you're going to see Noah Sewell and then Micah Baskerville. I think he's going to make it onto that roster.
Yeah, I like Noah Sewell, bro. I think there's more to him, of course, as you and I both know, and I would love to see him make the roster.
Cornerback, Jalen Johnson, Tyreek Stevenson, Kyler Gordon, Terrell Smith, A-Dub.
That secondary is deep, and those guys can all play.
And I feel like you're going to have two spots set up for grabs here. And in my opinion, I got to go Josh Blackwell, Reddy Stewart. I know that people are going to sit here and say, Perez, what about Jalen Jones? I get it. Hopefully he can make it onto that practice squad. But Reddy Stewart is just such a fucking playmaker and ball hawk. I want him on my 53.
Reddy Stewart earning a spot, man. And seeing what Blackwell been able to do too, like those two guys, man, have shown me they could be some very good rotational pieces. So I'm hoping those two definitely make it.
Safety, Jaquan Brisker, Kevin Byard. Easy, right? We know that those are going to be the starters. When you think about depth at the safety position, I'm looking at Jonathan Owens and Elijah Hicks. And this is the thing, man. I know a lot of people sit here and they talk all this shit about Jonathan Owens and, oh, I don't think he's going to make the team and this and that. And a lot of people, honestly, A-Dub, were confused about why he was in there playing in the fourth quarter in the preseason finale. But the one thing that I see about this guy, and he said on Hard Knocks, that man said he's a prolific tackler. And every time I see him on the field, every time I see him on film, he is making a tackle. And it's a textbook tackle. So he's making the team, and then I'm going to go with Elijah Hicks as well.
But to your point with Owens, man, he has made some good plays. And he's there where the ball is at. So if he doesn't get a chance to, you know, break up a pass, he's there making some good tackles. So I like the fact that having him a depth piece, the Bears don't lose much ground at all.
That's right. And finally, special teams. We already know how this is going to roll out. Cairo Santos, Torrey Taylor, Patrick Scales. And this is my thing when it comes to Patrick Scales. He was missed earlier in training camp. When they had those box snaps and things like that, I'm like, see, when Patrick Scales gets back out there, you ain't going to have that. You know what I'm saying? So when they have that lineup of those three, that trio together working, special teams is going to be easy. And the thing about it is with a Patrick Scales, his name's not going to be called during the game because you know why? Because he's not going to fuck up.
Right. Exactly. Having Taylor and Santos. I mean, I haven't had no issues with Santos, bro. Like, hey, he's been doing his thing, man. And we talked a lot about Taylor already, so we're in good shape.
Oh, no, we solid. And listen, like I said earlier, that punter is an extension of the offense. Cairo Santos is Cairo Santos. This offense is going to be good. And I know Caleb Williams was texting Torrey and letting him know, like, hey, you know what I'm saying? We're not going to need you. And, you know, we're not going to be punting much. Well, you know, Caleb, I like that type of energy. But just in case,
right?
You need Torrey. Let him do his thing and let him back up these damn opposing offenses. You know what I mean?
That's what it's about right there. It's better off having a guy like that than not having one at all. So you got one, got a stud. Hey, if you need him, we'll use him.
Yes, sir. Well, listen, audience, those are my thoughts as far as roster blocks and predictions about how this roster is going to play out. We'll see how things go. These are just my thoughts. These are just kind of things that I've just been feeling from practice and obviously from the games that we saw. So we'll see. You know, this thing is not an exact science, you know, because at the end of the day, we're not privy to the internal meetings that they have. So, you know, we'll see, you know, how correct I was. And I will tell you, if I was wrong about something, I'll be the first one to admit that. I'm not like the meatheads out here to act like they never were wrong about something. None of us are perfect. You know what I'm saying? I can take it. I'll be okay. I'll live. I've been wrong before. You know what I mean?
Hey, haven't we all, Perez? We all been wrong before, man. But I'll tell you this one thing. I like your takes on it.
My man. Well, listen, audience, hey, we appreciate you guys. Bro, I'm so fired up for the start of this season, 2 weeks. Hey, though, we're going to hit the audience with an episode towards the end of next week. We're going to let these roster cuts kind of come down the pipeline, see what moves Ryan Poles and his staff make. But we'll have some thoughts on that, and, you know, we'll get you guys ready as we approach week one when the Tennessee Titans get that ass whooped by the Bears.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to that game then.
Hey, audience, we appreciate you guys as always. Until next week, we are out.